Am I ready? Okay. That's all right. All right. Good morning, everyone. So today we're in week three. We're going through the second character trait, but let's just do a bit of review from last week. Last week we talked about being perfect, BP. Be perfect. And we launched this, not launched, we introduced the idea that with these five saboteurs that we're talking about, the greatness of them is they can go either way, and that's part of what we learn in Jewish wisdom, and that is that most of the personality traits that we have are neither good or bad completely, at least, and they can be channeled. It all depends what guides them, right? So we talked about what the drivers are, what's the values behind it. Is it, if it's ego or self-preservation or insecurity, then it becomes a saboteur. If it's purpose, mission, or not about us, then it becomes a value. It becomes a good thing. It becomes a sage. So we talked about perfectionism, which as a saboteur means that a person likes to have control, lack of function. It's no good. It hinders progress. It's all about because I need to be perfect. And we know that Hashem made the world imperfect and we are imperfect. So perfectionism as an aspiration just to make us perfect is not a good thing, which has to do with the phrase that God used at the end of creation, that everything was tov me'od and very good. And the Midrash says it actually is a reference to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Because if you want to always be tov me'od, it's not such a good thing. But as long as you're growing and as long as you are aspiring. And we talked about perfectionism as a sage, which is attention to detail, excellence, giving, you know, having a mission and always wanting to achieve it and so on and so forth. And that's how it becomes, that's how it's channeled to something which is actually good, as long as it doesn't stand in the way and as long as at the end of the day we don't have to be perfect, even though we try, we strive. In other words, that's the idea. Okay. Today we're going to go into the second one. Before I do that, just a couple of things. So today, of course, is a special day. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul, meaning not we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh Elul. So technically in the calendar, it's still the 30th of Av. So tomorrow is the 1st of Elul. But we know that when a month has 30 days, both days are considered Rosh Chodesh. So the urgency, the atmosphere, the vibe of Elul begins today, which means you can expect me to drive you crazy over the next few weeks, as you used to, as you know. So one of the things I wanted to just talk about is some of you might have seen on the way in, there was this poster. If you want, you can get it on the way out. This poster is actually about an event, which is this coming Wednesday night, 19th of August, called Legacies of Light. Rabbi Perez, who's the world head of Mizrahi, together with Rabbi Ullman, are going to be interviewed by Rav Shua Solomon. And it's also going to be a documentary about it's called My Beloved Son, about the power of the people who fight in Israel and so on and so forth. It should be a beautiful event. But it's actually a launch of a program which has been launched in Israel, and we're going to bring it here. The Rabbinical Council is bringing it here as well. And that's they've developed like a calendar, which we're going to do in Sydney from the 17th of Elul, which I've now forgotten the English date. Sorry, my mind thinks the Jewish day. I think it's the 30th of August. We're going to launch a program where every day people can just study a paragraph. They've dedicated each day to another soldier that fell in Israel and something you can learn from that soldier. Next week I'll have the calendars here, so if you want it, you can take one and start on that day and try to learn. It's like it'll take you literally a minute to read through it. But also the idea is that communities can expand on it a bit. So what I'm going to do is every year during Elul, I try to do like a sort of a WhatsApp daily, some thought or something on some topic to do with Elul and Chagim and so on. So what I'm going to do this year, starting that day, it's a Sunday, I think, I'm going to do a daily WhatsApp on that calendar page. In other words, I'm going to just learn a lesson from it and just expand it a bit, connect it to Elul, and maybe just bring a thought about what the value of that's been studied that day can be extrapolated on. So that'll be my WhatsApp series for this year. So I will send it out. Some of you are on last year's WhatsApp group, which had a different name. It's called Growing with the Calendar, I think. I'll change the name. If you're on there, don't worry. You don't have to subscribe. But if you're not, you can subscribe. I'll send it out over next week. And we'll start on, I think it's the 30th of August. So I just wanted to mention that. And next week, if you want, I'll have the calendars here. So I can give you one if you want. Okay. So today's saboteur or character trait that we went through in the five is the second one. It's called HU, which is hurry up. Hurry up. Who's a rush person here? Anyway, you don't have to put up your head. This is a people. It's a personality trait of people that are always hurrying. Okay. In fact, not only that, it's a personality trait that some people are just simply born with. I know that from a piece of the Talmud. The Talmud talks about, I've mentioned this Talmud many times, but the Talmud talks about what kind of character and personality you have depending on the day of the week that you're born on, right? I mean, that's one understanding. The second approach in the Talmud is got to do with the hour you're born in. That's not the topic of today's class, but there's this concept, right? And what's fascinating about the different personalities that the Talmud goes through is that many of them are not good or bad. Some of them sound more good, some of them sound more bad, but you see from some of them that actually it's not good or bad. It actually depends what you do with them, which is really the idea we're talking about. Like, for example, it says someone who's born on Sunday will have leadership traits, right? So now, it could be a good leader or a bad leader. It depends what you do with it, and so on. So one of them is Friday, right? So Friday, the word, the terminology that's used in the Talmud is that he who was born on a Friday will be a seeker. He'll always be looking for something, which the commentaries translate to the idea of always being in a rush, always wanting to do something, always wanting to do the next thing, and kind of, that's what they talk about. They talk about it, the person's always in a hurry is like, because why Friday? Because Friday is a rush day, right? That's what Friday is in Jewish tradition. Friday is a rush day. Now, if it's good, of course, what are you rushing for? What are you looking for all the time? You're looking for good things, for mitzvot, good deeds, helping others, doing a mitzvah, whatever the case is, right? Otherwise, it's not such good thing. But we have to understand what the word rushing actually means, and that's really what we're going to talk about today. I just want to, on a side tangent, we talk about Friday being a rush day. There's a fascinating halachic piece in the Talmud that I just want to share with you. It's in one of the complex tractates that we used to study in yeshiva, which is the laws of damages, right? If you damage someone's property, who's responsible, who's not responsible, all these kind of things, which are a very big part of the Talmudic curriculum in yeshivot. It's like studying law almost, but it's a Talmudic law. One of them is a famous piece where if you're walking in the street and someone's carrying glass bottles, like fragile stuff, right? And you don't see where you're going and you're in a rush, whatever, and you bump into him. So who's responsible? In other words, am I responsible to make sure no one's in the street bumping into me? Or are you responsible to make sure that you don't bump into anyone? That's number one in general, but number two, particularly if you're going to cause them monetary damage, right? Just look where you're going, don't bump into someone. Whose responsibility is it? So the Talmud says it's the responsibility of the one who bumped into the person. In other words, I'm walking in the street, I should look where I'm going. If someone's carrying fragile and I'm running, in other words, and I'm in a rush, I can't put it on the person that's carrying those glass bottles to always look, to be so hypervigilant to make sure there's no one running in the street and no one walking abnormally, and therefore they're going to rush into me and bump into me and cause my glasses to break. So therefore, if I'm the one running, I'm obligated to pay damages because it was my responsibility to look where I'm going, even though it was inadvertent. The damage was inadvertent, right? There's one exception on a Friday. That's Talmud says, a very fascinating thing. On a Friday, everyone's rushing for Shabbos. Okay, now we drive, but those days, I don't know if it works, by the way. I don't think you get off speeding tickets on a Friday. But in the old Talmudic times, on a Friday, it was different. If someone's running on a Friday, when you carry glass bottles, fragile stuff in the street, and it's Friday, you know there are people running. So just watch out. And if someone inadvertently bumped into you, it's your problem. That's the only exception. Otherwise, every other day, right? So we see this idea that Friday is a rush day. We'll see later that even God rushed on a Friday. We'll talk about that in a second. But this is the concept of being born on a Friday. You have a rushing personality, or a person is always in a hurry. However, we see here that hurrying up or being in a rush let's talk about being in a rush. First of all, as a saboteur, not as a sage. So I'll do what I did last week. Let's hear from you. Why is a person who's always in a hurry, why is that a problem?
Lots of problems.
Okay. Let's hear one.
Because you never finish what you're doing.
Never finish what you're doing. Yes. Lack of presence. I like that. Yes.
And you're impatient. You might not see the wood to the trees.
Yep. Impatience is definitely comes with being always in a hurry.
Yeah. Lack of focus.
Lack of focus.
Stress.
Stress. Yes. Stress. Yep. So what they say over here is, yeah, impatience. I think impatience is leads to something else. Impatience leads to intolerance, actually. Right? So impatience is one thing, you're not patient, but also what impatient people normally do is they're intolerant also of others. Like, why are you taking so long? I'm in a hurry, kind of thing, right? So you walk into a store and they're not serving you quickly enough and you become impatient, then you become intolerant and you start berating the person, why are you taking so long, right? That kind of thing. Stress is a very important one, but not only stress for yourself, you actually end up adding stress to others. That's what happens. A person's always in a hurry, like everyone's got to just get out of the way, and it creates an energy of stress, right? My mother, of blessed memory, she used to come here, and I'm a little bit of a, I wasn't born on a Friday, but I do have that trait a little bit. And like I would come in and I would start doing things. She always say, can't you slow down? Like she would feel stressed. And then it would be followed like, do you practice what you preach on a Thursday? That was the next part. Okay. May not build enough allies or get enough buy-in from other people because you just want to get it done yourself. You just don't, you know, you don't consider others. And of course, like you say, you're not focused. You might miss details. You don't get it done properly or you don't get it done reasonably, functionally, etc. And you don't pay attention to the process. Now, of course, one shouldn't pay over attention to the process because if you need to get something done, obviously the end result is what you need to, the goal is what you need to accomplish. But you ignore the process, and when you ignore the process, you actually don't end up reaching the goal properly, right? So all those things. And I think they don't list it here, but someone said this before, and I think the real issue, people are in a hurry, and we need to understand this well because we need to understand the flip side of it, is that there's a lack of presence. In other words, even if you're not present in what you do, we talked about this a lot when we studied mindfulness. If you're not mindful, if you don't have intention, if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, when you're doing something, when you're accomplishing something, it normally hinders it, it normally affects it badly. It affects functionality because you can't function properly. You can't achieve something unless you're fully there. And perhaps even worse, it affects relationships, right? Because relationships require presence, as we know, right? You can't just be half there. A good, especially a deep relationship, applies you to be there, applies you to be fully present, applies you to understand the person, to look at the person, to look behind the person, meaning what's going on behind the surface, to notice what's going on and so on. So it affects relationship, it affects empathy. I think I shared with you a study that was done a number of years ago about when smartphones were introduced, it definitely brought, I just want to make sure I was recording, it definitely brought a lack of empathy. Empathy came down because people aren't present, right? You're not noticing, but rushing is the same thing. I'm always rushing. It's like, let's get this over and done with because I'm thinking about the next thing. I'm rushing to something else, or I'm trying to hop everything, so to speak. But also a lot of times, this is, you know, what you find about a lot of people is also, you find this by FOMO people, right? People who are always fear of missing out. And that's what they're always thinking, like, you know, I got to go, I got to this thing because I don't want to miss this out, I don't want to miss that out. Life doesn't work like that. But that's sort of a little bit connected to the process of rushing. Now, a little bit, again, we talked about the drivers, right? So the drivers is a lack of presence, first of all. That's always going to drive bad rushing. A little bit it comes from an ego because it's about what I need to do and or what's good for me to get it out of the way or to pursue and run after so many things that I can't manage and so on and so forth. Sometimes it comes from insecurity. I just need to be everywhere and I need to be worrying about the next thing and the next thing because I'm insecure about everything. which is part of ego. In other words, it's I've got so much stress because I need to run to so many things. And that's why, you know, when we learned mindfulness, the analogy that John Kabat-Zinn gave was you wake up in the morning and you got 50 people with you in the shower because you're thinking everything that you have to do that day and every person you have to meet that day and everything you have to interact with that day, right? So that's just a bad way of living. It comes from, like, I'm so stressed about the things where I need to take one thing at a time and be present. Sorry?
50 people in the shower, you would be, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he meant figuratively speaking, but yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right, so that's when Rashi is a saboteur. But here comes the issue. That actually in Judaism, we have a value which seems to a little bit contradict this, but it doesn't, obviously, because it's just misunderstood sometimes. But we do have a thing called zrizut. Zrizut means to be quick and to get things done quick. Don't procrastinate, so to speak, right? Sometimes they translate zrizut as alacrity, which is probably, I'm not sure exactly what alacrity means, but I think it's a better term than being quick or rushing, right? Now, it's a very, very important value. In fact, all it comes, we value it, the author of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, explains that we value this. We learn this from Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu was tested by God. The final and absolute test by God was to sacrifice his only son upon the altar, which of course God didn't let him do at the end. He took it as just a test. But I said today it's Elul, right? So we think about Rosh Hashanah. I mean, we do this every day, but actually Rosh Hashanah, particularly Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the Akedah, this test that Avraham passed all the time, right? We get so much mileage out of it. We ask God to remember it and bless us in the merit of Avraham Avinu and so on and so on. We all the time. In fact, the shofar itself has got to do with Akedah, because when the angel eventually called to Abraham not to sacrifice his son, Abraham noticed that there was a ram caught in the leaves of the tree. That was right. Then he realized that's a special ram, and he understood that was a ram he was supposed to offer up on the altar instead of Yitzchak, so to speak. So it was as if he had actually passed God's test, right? And the Midrashim tell us, our rabbis tell us, that the two shofars of that ram was very special. The one shofar was blown at Mount Sinai, where it says in the Torah that God blew a shofar, and we heard the sound of the shofar coming and emanating from the mountain. And the second one, the right one, will be blown when Mashiach comes. That will be, the redemption will be ushered in with a tremendous blow of the shofar, right? So, and we connect the shofar to the Akedah as well. We talk about it in our prayers and so on. What was the greatness of the Akedah? So some commentaries ask the following question. Yeah, of course, it's a huge greatness to want to pass that test. On the other hand, it wasn't like, you know, we read things in the Torah sometimes that are hard for us, right? We learn it. What we learn and what we understand is based on our faith. We believe that there was Har Sinai, there was Mount Sinai, that we are Jews. We have the 13 principles of faith. God gave us the Torah. That's one of the key principles of faith. And we live and we are guided by the values of the Torah. Now, some of these values are not easy. Sometimes the Torah demands us to do things that are very hard, or different things are hard for different people. Some people worry about Pesach the entire year because they have to eat matzah for a week. I mean, it's not one of my worries. I actually like matzah. But other people, everyone has a different part of the Torah, right? But we do it anyways. Why do we do it anyways? Because we have faith. Avraham Avinu, this wasn't an issue of faith, right? God had revealed himself to him a number of times. And it was God himself that appeared to him and asked him to pass this test. And Avraham was a big tzaddik, right? So yes, the Akedah was an amazing thing, of course. I mean, to be called on you to make a sacrifice with your own child, of course, is unbelievable. But at the end of the day, it wasn't like Avraham Avinu was going to fail this, right? I mean, God himself spoke to him. He told him. He spoke to him directly. In fact, some commentaries say that Yitzchak was the hero of the Akedah, because he was an adult, actually. He wasn't a child. And when eventually he realized where Avraham Avinu is taking him, he fully agreed. And for him, it was faith. Because God didn't appear to him, God appeared to Avraham, right? And yet we talk about the greatness of Avraham passing the test of the Akedah. And the Alter Rebbe explains that actually the greatness of the Akedah was not the actual doing it, it was the zrizut, doing it quickly. Because Avraham, it says in the Torah, we read this, We read this on Rosh Hashanah, actually. Vayashkeim Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up early in the morning to do what God had told him. Got up. He saddled his own horse. He made arrangements. He didn't procrastinate. I mean, being called upon to do such an unbelievable thing, yes, I'm going to have to do it because God told me, but like, I don't need to do it early in the morning, you know. Maybe I can get up like a little bit later. I can delay it. Maybe God will change his mind. I don't know. Like, no. Vayashkeim Avraham Baboker. The value of zrizut. The value of something comes your way to do, do it. Season it. Do it right away. Right? So how does that work? It works because zrizut is an important thing. And in fact, that's why hurrying up this character trait can be an is and can be a sage, not a saboteur. But it's because we misunderstand the word zrizut. Zrizut does not mean rushing. And we're going to tell this, just let's say this quickly, and then we're going to unpack it a bit, right? It doesn't mean you have to do anything quickly or rushed, right? But it does mean, and someone who is a hurrying person needs to slow down. Slowing down is important because, as we said before, it's so important to be present in what you're doing. You cannot ever be present in what you're doing if you do it in a rush, right? Or if you do it impulsively or spontaneously, it doesn't work. But what zrizut does mean, and being in a hurry in a good way means, is not procrastinating, that's number one, not putting things off, right? Which we're gonna unpack this a little bit soon. It means using time properly and taking every opportunity that comes our way to accomplish meaning and purpose. It also means creating a little bit of a healthy level of urgency, because healthy level of urgency is a good thing, not a bad thing. It gets things done. And it includes the ability to be rushed when needed, because there's always in life where we actually do need to be in a hurry, but with proper presence and with proper planning, we can rush effectively. Not as a daily thing, but we can rush effectively, right? And that's why in the literature that I'm using, they talk about hurrying up being a sage, because it means a person can work under pressure. They can move things along. They can get a lot done sometimes in a shorter time because they do it effectively. Actually becomes from presence because you know what you're doing, you're focused. And when there's a need to get something done quickly, you can. It also means being hardworking, laser focused, doesn't get stuck in details, which sometimes getting stuck, details are important, and yet sometimes the details slow us down and hinder us, right? So let's understand that, and also let's understand how that works deeply from a Jewish perspective, because it's a bit deeper than that. I think I've told you this before, but where I saw this combination in a really, in an amazing way is the years I was studying by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I used to observe him a lot. And I never ever saw, he said himself, I think I said this last week, he said himself that he was born on a Friday, and he once commented that I was born on a Friday, and that's why I'm always in a rush. And yet, I actually never saw him rush. Never. Never ever saw him rush. I saw him come to davening. I saw him at Fabringen's. I saw him during the Chagim. I mean, we used to see a lot of him during the month of Tishrei. There was a lot of public events, and he would come out and so on. And I never saw him rushed. He was always walk very measured. Whatever he did was done very slowly, with a tremendous amount of presence. So what did he mean he was in a rush? I think what it means is, which I also saw, that although he was always very, very measured in what he did and actually never rushing, but he didn't waste a second. And it was very clear and the way you would watch him. In other words, when one thing was finished, there was no delay. And right away, on to the next thing. If something came up, there was an opportunity. It's interesting, throughout the history, the Rebbe had many, many campaigns. You know, there's a 10-point mitzvah campaign, and there was many, many campaigns. Some of the campaign to learn a daily section of the Rambam, the Maimonides, many such campaigns. There were some campaigns that actually he didn't initiate, but someone gave him an idea, and he liked it. So he seized upon it, right? And then he would want it to be executed soon, not by rushing it, but by not wasting time. It's a very big difference. Like, just get onto it. Like, I remember there was a campaign that he had, like 2 weeks later, there was a public gathering. And I remember he spoke, and one of the talks, he spoke about the campaign that he'd hoped people would be attending to and get it done and start doing things about it. And he said, with regard to this campaign, I think it was the campaign that had to do with, there was a campaign once where, you know, there's a concept in Judaism where you have a Sefer Torah, you write a Torah scroll, that people can buy letters. Doesn't that, like you can own a letter in a Torah. And there was a time that he was very, very much pushing this concept of having a letter in a Torah. And he wanted his chassidim to go out and to spread the word and to make it happen and so forth. And I remember he sitting by, and things are starting to move a little bit, and it was about 2 weeks, or 2 or 3 weeks after he started the campaign, and there was a Fabregan just before Sukkot. And it was 2 weeks later, because he actually developed it Erev Rosh Hashanah. He launched it. And I remember him saying, he started talking about it, and he said, with regard to the campaign of the Torah scrolls, it's going bizrizut, but in Hebrew, the order of the sentence is different. So I almost thought he was going to say, it's going with good rizut. And he said, it's going with bizrizut hachi ktana, which means a very bad rizut. like, where are you guys? You're sloughing, right? So rushing and not wasting time is two different things, right? In other words, you're not saying like, rush, get it done, rush. No, it's not a rush. He does sometimes put pressure on time also, but it's about why you're not thinking about it, why you're not getting onto it, why you're not doing things about it, right? That kind of thing. And there were many instances where you could see that he would be fully present in something, he'd finish it, and right away start the next thing. Like, there was no wasting time in the middle, right? To him, like, time was, like, every second was... I observed this once I used to watch videos. So, you know, the Rebbe had this famous giving of dollars. He would stand hours and hours on Sunday and give people dollars. With each person, could be a minute or half a minute or 10 seconds. He's always very, very fully present on that person. As soon as that person would finish, go to the next person. But I was never there at the beginning, so I don't know, but I've watched videos of it. How the Rebbe comes out of his room to the place where he gives dollars. And like, it's not like he came out and then like acclimatized himself and take a breath and okay, now let's start. The second he came out, he picked up the first dollar, was giving it to the first person. It was like a thing with him. He never ever wasted time, but never rushed either, right? So what does that mean? Because we know in halacha, we have this thing of zrizut. So for example, I'll give you an example of something that's coming up soon, Sukkot, right? So in Sukkot, there's a mitzvah to bench, make a bracha on the lulav, right? So the Pirkei Avot actually tells us, when a mitzvah comes your way, do not, it's actually a very funny Hebrew expression, al tachmitzena, don't delay it. Tachmitzena is the same word as chametz, right? What's the root of chametz? Where something, you leave it, you forgot about it, so it's rising, right? So when a mitzvah comes your way, it's don't make it chametz. In other words, take the opportunity, right? So for example, we have these things even in Jewish law, we have in halachi level, we have this concept where, so you have a mitzvah of lulav, to make a bracha. It needs to be done in daytime, different to the sukkah. Sukkah can be anytime, but lulav has to be during the day. And it doesn't matter when it is. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you haven't made a bracha on the lulav, do it now. However, the preference in Jewish law is do it in the morning. Why? Zrizut. You have a mitzvah, get it done. Don't rush it, just get it done. Do it. Do it now, because it's coming away. Who knows what'll happen later? Do it now, right? There's a certain, rizut does create a certain urgency. The urgency doesn't result in rushing, it results in not wasting time. That's the concept, right? And that's such an important. By the way, the same thing is with regard to bris. There's all kinds of things. Now, there's all kinds of considerations about when you make a bris. The preference is to do it in the morning. Same thing. Any time on the eighth day is good. Of course, halacha says if the mall is not available or you can't get a crowd, then it's different. But I'm saying if all is equal, in the morning, because we learn it from the verse of Avraham. Vayashkem Avraham baboker. He woke up in the morning. There's a mitzvah to do it when you can. Don't put it off, right? Now, we've spoken about this idea many times. This goes back to a different concept. It goes back to a concept we have in Judaism about the sacredness and the holiness of time. Right? About the usage of time, the gift of time, right? Why? Based on that, because the world is made up of two things, time and space, right? That's the frame of reference of the physical existence. Before God created the world, there was no time or space, it's different. It transcends time. space is a finite thing. That's the physical world, time and space. Now, we know that many of the mitzvot, for example, have to do with space. They have to do with objects, things that exist within the world, right? And those objects have a measurement, and they have, right, a lulav and a trog, whatever, they have measurements, they have, it's all space. But there are many mitzvot that actually have nothing to do with space, they have to do with time. In fact, as I think I've shared with you many times, the very first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people as a nation was Rosh Chodesh, and by extension, making the calendar. Not Rosh Chodesh Elul, but it was Rosh Chodesh of Nisan before they went out of Egypt, right? Why is that? Because God was teaching us the importance of sanctifying time, right? Elevating time. Just like when we do a mitzvah with an object, you put a mezuzah on your door, you give a coin to tzedakah, you light a Shabbos candle, you're elevating the physical objects, right? That's how it works. So too with time, time has purpose, time has meaning. When you do something meaningful with your time, you elevate the time, right? Which is why part of that idea is not wasting time. Now, not wasting time doesn't mean that we always have to be doing something directly spiritual. I mean, people need to rest, people need to eat, people need to have a good time sometimes, all part of living. But it means to be intentional and to live life with a purpose. But not just to say, I'm going to live, 2.5 days with tremendous purpose, and I'm such a talented guy, so I'm going to achieve that purpose and achieve that mission. I'm going to do more in 2.5 days. It takes other people 3 weeks. That's nice, but that's not the way it works. Because we are so focused on time, if you can accomplish so much in 2.5 days, it takes other people 3 weeks, that means you can accomplish more. So you've got to do much, much more than other people because you've got to use the time, right? You can't just say, no, twice a week, I'm just going to waste time. It doesn't work like that, from a Jewish perspective at least. In fact, it's about not procrastination in Jewish. I mean, procrastination sometimes comes from a character trait of being perfect, no, and so on. But the idea of procrastinating is not very tolerated, put it that way, by Jewish wisdom, right? Because why are you putting things off? If you're living a life of purpose, don't put things off. Pirkei Avot says, a person should never say if there's something valuable that you need to do and need to accomplish, make time for it. Because Al Tomar, do not say, says the Pirkei Avot, the ethics of the fathers, that when I'm finished tending to all my needs, when I'm older and I'm retired and everything's been put in place for the next 7 generations, then I'll come to a shir, then I'll learn. That's what people, it doesn't say shir, it says like she'efne eshne. When I've got everything sorted out, then I'm going to come and learn. Right? Says the Pirkei Avot, Shema lo tipaneh. Maybe you'll never get everything sorted out. What are you waiting for? It's a good thing. Do it now. Make time for it. Create a sense of urgency. Zrizut, right?
Why do we have to say the Shema before 9:30?
Not always 9:30. First of all, it's only a man thing, by the way. Women can say whenever they want. That's got to do with time-bound mitzvot. But, so Shema is a mitzvah to do it early in the morning and at night. But there's a time frame in the morning how you have to say it before a certain time. Okay. Do they announce that in shul?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. They do that sometimes. Yeah. By the way, God himself taught us this lesson. It's a fascinating passage. And fascinating, it's in a few places. We learn about the 6 days of creation. Very, very interesting thing. And I'll tell you how we know this. You know that when you make Kiddush on Friday night, right? We talk about the 6 days of creation, Yom HaShishi, right? So we say there, Vayechal Elokim b'Yom HaShvi'i, that God finished creating on the 7th day, which is a very strange sentence. Because the whole basis of Shabbat is that God created in 6 days and then rested on Shabbat, right? So what does that mean? Okay, rested on Shabbat is a whole other discussion what that means, but literal translation, right? So we say like this, that God created everything in the 6 days, light on the 1st day, the heaven on the 2nd day, vegetation, all those things, and so on, sun and moon on the fourth day, and so on. And then he created the human being, that was the last thing. And then there were a few things that weren't created yet, apparently, because nothing is created new. So there are certain things that God created at the last minute. Right? Are you a last minute person? Like you always get stuff done like just before Shabbat, that kind of thing. Right? So it says that there's just so you understand how the day works. By the way, part of the indication that we are people who value time is that in Jewish law, there's an unbelievable consciousness of time, right? If you observe halacha, you always need to know the time. I mean, stop a guy in the street and ask him, do you know when sunset is tonight? Like, look at you, you're mad. Like, what difference does it make? When it gets dark, it'll get dark. No, sunset, I need to know exact my time of sunset. Can you please tell me, right? You know how many things relevant to in Jewish law, right? Shabbat, every lots of things, right? You know, we have a day fast. You know, we have a bunch of day fasts. So they start at dawn. So like in the winter, it's good. You can get up early for a coffee, right? Like which average guy would know when dawn is? Like, I mean, I don't know. People are sleeping when dawn happens, right? Mostly. But yeah, you need to know exact minutes. If it's 5:23, then it means at 5 o'clock, you can have a coffee, right? So there's a lot of consciousness of time. So there's a time of the day that's called Ben Hashmashot, twilight, which means the sun has gone down, but the stars haven't come out, right? I'm just giving you this introduction so you understand the point of this lesson. That 20 minutes or so is known as we don't know if it's night or we don't know if it's day. Actually, we don't know exactly when the day is considered done and when the night begins, right? That's why Shabbat, we start before the sun sets, and we take Shabbat out after the stars come out, because we're not sure either way, so you got to be careful, right? So we've got to be extra strict. God knows when the day ends, and he knows when the night begins. So what did God do? He created a bunch of things. Pirkei Avot talks about it. For example, you know, when the story of Korach, when it was the idea of an earthquake, the idea of the ground opening up, that was created at the last minute. One of the things were created at the last minute. The ability for the donkey to talk in the story of Bilam. Everything that happens in creation, there was the potential of it already created when the world was created. So the Pirkei Avot lists a bunch of things that God created at the last minute. The last minute. Now, to us it would seem as he finished on Shabbos, because it's that twilight part, right? We wouldn't create anything. We wouldn't do anything then, because it's already sunset, so we stop because we don't know if it's Friday or Shabbos. God knew exactly when Shabbos began. So therefore, he created things in Ben Hashmashot, in the twilight part. That's why we say in the Kiddush, Vayechal Elokim, God finished on the seventh day, because to us it looked like he finished on the seventh day. So the question is, that many people ask, okay, it's very nice, but God has to wait till the last minute, like you couldn't organize his schedule? And the answer is no, he wanted to teach us a lesson. For us, we can't create then, so we don't. But if you have an opportunity to do something, to create something, to achieve something, you have a few minutes to do something, do it. Don't say, no, I've got 25 minutes, I'll do it next week. Right? No, do it now, because there's an urgency. That's Rizut. That's the meaning of Rizut, right? That's how it works. Which is why, and I think I've also shared this with you before, why we have a very interesting thing with Abraham Avinu. And the Torah tells us when Abraham Avinu was growing old, it said, Abraham Zaken, he was an older person, Ba Beyamim, coming in days. What does it mean, coming in days? That's a very strange, every expression in the Torah has meaning, right? First of all, it says he really was old. So what do you mean? Like he was coming in days, like he had a lot of days? What does that mean? So the answer is no. He was old, and a lot of people get older. We keep getting older, all of us. But he was a person that always used his time. So Baba Yamim, he came with all his days. Every day, he had what to show for it. He could account for all his days. In other words, every day was a day of meaning. Which is an incredible lesson. In other words, this is the rizut that we're talking about. Like don't put things off. Don't put things off to another day, because every day we are called upon to do something meaningful, to live with values, to live with meaning. And therefore, every day when you do that, the day is accounted for. It's not a wasted day. It's an accomplished day. And that was Abraham Avinu. He came, he was old. That's one thing. That's old in the passport. In other words, he was old. In other words, he was 100, he was 99, or whatever the case it was, right? Or even older when that story happened. But not only was old, Baba Yamim was a person that had every day accounted for. He used every day. Right. Abraham Avinu died when he was, those days a little much longer, right? So he died when he was 175. Yeah. Sarah was 120. Sarah was 127. She died young, relatively speaking. It's in the Torah. The Torah gives us a whole...
No, I know it's in the Torah, but you know...
How do you work what out?
How do you explain it?
Oh, okay. So the biology... I mean, biology changes all the time. Physical biology changes. According to the Torah, in the very beginning of creation, people lived very long. And then it got younger. But then... So until we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses is when like kind of... Well, Moses lived 120, but that's where the phrase 120 comes from, right?
Is it
Sorry? Yeah, Noah was much, he was before Avraham Avinu. But so Avraham, and then from Moshe Rabbeinu's time, kind of, that's when the current sort of life expectancy or average sort of started. Yeah. So let's bring this all together. What does it mean? So one of the Hasidic rabbis, I don't remember, he had who it was, but he had a saying about zrizut, right, this concept of being quick and luxury and doing it. He would say, it has to be zrizut bimtinut, which in Hebrew, that's the Hebrew expression, which means calm alacrity, calm zrizut, right? Rushing, there are times where we do have to rush, but rushing is generally not a good thing because you have to be present, right? There was a story of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe's father, who was the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was leading a Fabrengen. I might have told this story before, but he was leading a Fabrengen, and a Fabrengen works that he would talk and then they would sing. He would stop and then they would sing. Singing was part of the process because, you know, you sing, you think about what you said, you connect with each other, the power of a song is very strong. Then they would stop singing, then he would talk again, we'd go talk. When I was by the Rebbe used to do this as well. It was talking, singing, and went on for hours. So one time, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, he didn't have Fabrengens that often. It was a big thing. So he noticed that people are starting to sing the Nigun quickly. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they actually were there to hear what he has to say. They weren't so interested in the song, right? So he was singing quickly. The Nigun says, you get to the next talk, right? Because they were thirsty for his knowledge, and they do. You know, while he's here, we've got it. Like, when he goes out of the room, I don't know when the next time will be. And he got very upset. He stopped him in the middle of the Nigun, and he said, this is not a way of serving Hashem. He said, if you have to do something, when you're doing something, right, the question is, are you supposed to do it or are you not supposed to do it? You're definitely not supposed to do it rushed. In other words, if we're singing a Nigun at the Fabrengen, it means because the Nigun is part of the journey, right? It means it's part of the process. The Nigun has its place. If it has its place, so why are you rushing? Well, because you want to get to the thing after. He says, he actually, what he said in modern terms would be an early talk on mindfulness, right? Of being mindful, being present. He didn't use those words exactly, but that's the idea. And in Judaism, that idea is very important. Kavanah, right? Kavanah is intention. To do something with intention. Do something with intention, you can't do it rushed. And the truth is that in Judaism, we have all sorts of things that help us do that if we use them properly. Like saying a bracha before we eat is about being intentional. It's about eating with intention, remembering where it comes from, and so on. Prayer is supposed to be intentional. Now, we sometimes don't do that. We just rush off our prayers because we do it every day, so we just knock it off. But that's not the way to do it, really, right? But it's designed for us to be much more intentional. So he said to them, if our brain is structured that we're singing a song, it means the song is an intentional part of the Fabrengen. If it's an intentional part of our brain, do it properly. When you're in the song, that's the only thing you're doing. Now, if he would finish talking and they'd like waste a minute before they start the song, he'd be upset. Like, why are you wasting time? Like, what are you doing? We're not talking, you're not singing, so what are you doing? Like, why are you wasting time? You understand? That's what Zrizut Bimtinut means. Calm alacrity. The talk finished, now it's time to sing, so start singing. But sing slow. Sing with intention. Sing so you know what's going on. And it's everything in life again, not just mitzvot, everything. Right? When there are obviously times we have to rush, we're late for something, whatever the case is. But generally speaking, we actually will get more done if we don't rush, but we have zrizut. Right? We don't rush, meaning we're fully in what we're doing. We don't think of other things. We're doing it properly. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's taking a walk unless you're running for exercise, of course you don't run slowly because that's not the point. But you still do it with intention, right? Whatever, or you're having a schmooze with someone, you're doing it intentionally. You're doing it with calmness, not nerves. But zrizut means that I take the opportunity of a thing that I can do and I do it without procrastinating. But when I do it, I'm doing it with intention. I don't delay and I don't waste time, but what I do properly. That's what good zrizut means. And that's the term calm alacrity, calm quickness, right? Being present also means to plan properly, right? Planning properly. Because planning means you give time for planning. Can't plan one thing when you're doing something else. That's a very bad trait. I'm not saying I don't do this. I do, but because we're not perfect, right? But it's not a good thing. Because being present means to have time for planning. You've got to plan something out properly so it's done properly. Not plan it while you're doing something else and then you think you're saving time that way. Often people do all these kinds of things and they think that's saving time. It's not saving any time. It's just making you so tumult, as they say in Yiddish, right? You're not present. You're not getting things done properly. Yeah. Then when you finish doing what you're doing, then you plan for the next thing and you don't waste time, you don't procrastinate and get on to the new thing. So presence, being present with something, and urgency at the same time, this is what it's all about. You have a sense of urgency in your life. That's the good part of hurrying. You know there's a lot to do. But you don't do it in a rush. You do it with presence, with planning, with intention. And when you're doing it, you do it slow. Actually, it's not easy. That's a combination of two opposites, right? Because there are people that never rush, but they also like, ooh, they're never there. Like, to get to do something takes 7 weeks, right? Oh, was I supposed to get this done? I didn't know. Like, you know, was this due today? I don't know. Yeah. And they're so flexible, it doesn't matter, the whole world can fall apart. They're fine. They're doing well, right? It's a little bit like chesed and gevurah coming together. It's not an easy thing. It's actually two opposite things. To have a sense of urgency and not to rush is actually quite hard, but that's the uniqueness of the human being. We can always combine opposite things. That's who we are. We've talked about this millions of times. That's who we are. We can combine opposites in our personality, and they're different things, and we need to know, but how are they different things? Again, goes back to what a sage is. If we're doing it for the right reason, if it's value-based, and we're doing it because we have to accomplish a mission, it's not about us. When we're about us, then we can only do one. We can either be rushed or we can be verschleppt, as I say. It can be whatever. We'll never get things done. But if it's about doing something, if it's a focus, not me, but it's, then because focus is me, I just go with my personality. It's either rushing or it's like procrastinating. But if the focus is actually to accomplish something valuable, then I learn to bring both things together. I have a sense of urgency, but I don't rush. I'm still intentional, right? I'll just finish with the words of King David himself. It's a fascinating thing. There's a chapter of Psalms that's called 119, where he goes through, there's eight sets in that chapter, where he goes through the... Not that's... You love 119? It's a very long psalm. Okay. But so it's like the 22 letters of the alphabet, each pasuk starts another letter of the alphabet, eight times each, so eight verses of the aleph. Yeah. In the letter Chet, he has two verses, one after another. Listen to this. The first verse says... Chashavti drachai, I contemplate my ways. Meaning I'm intentional, I plan, I contemplate it, right? And then my feet take me to pursue your values, he says to Hashem, your mitzvot, etc. In other words, part of being intentional is to think. People also, when they're rushed, they end up doing things they're not supposed to do. They end up doing things that are ineffective, physically, spiritually, whatever it is. Because we don't think. So the Ma'am Lo'ez, one of the great commentaries in Tillim, he writes, he says, what King David is trying to say is that everything that he did, he gave it thought. That's part of intention. Is it good for me? Is it not good for me? Is the right thing to do? The wrong thing to do? I don't just impulsively do things, right? He said, I think about, I reflect, you know, now we're coming Elul. Elul is a time of reflection and so on, right? I don't just do things because out of habit. I do them with intention. Another part of being intentional. He says when you do something impulsively, you also regret it impulsively. In other words, you jump into one thing, you jump out of the one thing. Intentional people plan, they measure, they thought, they give reflection, they give focus. The very next verse, he says, "Chashti v'lo hisamati." He says, "I hurried and I did not delay to keep your commandments." The very next verse, right? So he explains, this is the point. He says that even though he just said he doesn't rush, he's intentionally, he says, that's why I'm in a hurry. In other words, the good hurry. That's why I don't delay things. Because I'm intentional, that's why I don't delay things. Because I do things with intention, not just with impulse, I actually intend and I think about things. I know which things are important. I know it has to be done. It's planned out. It's intentional. So I don't waste time. I get it done. And I get it done with intention. That's what he's saying. He says, I hurry and therefore I don't delay. Coming, and this is the second verse coming after the first verse. And he explains that it comes together. It goes together. Because I'm planned out, because I'm intentional, I actually know, I spend time on what has to be done, and then I'm able to get it done. And as he continues, he says, and I'm able to get it done even when sometimes I have to really rush. Because if you're used to doing things measured, then sometimes when you just have to rush, even the rushing can be done with intention. Because you're late or whatever, something really urgent, so because you're an intentional person, even that rushing is more intentional. And that's how those two things come together. So the hurry-up personality, if you're a hurry-up personality, don't discard it. Just channel it into something much more intentional. Understand it's not about rushing, but it's about not delaying. Yeah.
Rabbi, would you share with us at some point what being born on the other day is?
Yeah, sure. Maybe we'll do a share on it. It's very fascinating. About the days, the hours, it's a very fascinating thing. We'll do that. All right. Have a good week, everyone. You're welcome. I'm going to go to the next one.